Amen. And we're here today, and he's here today. And I want to hear so that I can preach, minister, teach, tell everybody that I can. I want to hear from God. I want to hear the Word of God. I want to hear that. But I want to hear it by the Spirit of God. I want it to be the Logos, the written Word, is powerful, potent. If it finds a good ground hard, it brings forth fruit every single time, manyfold, if it finds a good ground hard. The Logos is the Word of God on the written page, and God has preserved it for us. Men are fallible. Men were used to write the Bible. Some believe they were just taken over by the Holy Spirit. We can't really biblically fully explain that. It's mysterious. But we know that holy men wrote when God moved them by His Spirit to write. And we have an authenticity here that's been under the attack more than any book that's ever been written. However, with all of the attacks on it, it is the best-selling book that has ever been written. More people are still buying Bibles today. People are still reading Bible. People are still burning Bibles and killing Bible believers today. So the attack on it really gives it more authenticity to me. The devil fights what he fears, and he fears, amen, the people getting into the Word of God, because if they get into the Word of God, the Word of God is going to get into them. And if it gets into them, Jesus talked about it as seed falling on different kinds of ground. Right. When it finds a good ground heart, a heart that will receive it, respond to it, that's the opposite of the other three types. The stony ground and the highway and that had little earth came up and then fell away. All these other kinds of heart attitudes toward His Word were fruitless. But there's one heart that is the opposite of the other three. It's called the good ground heart. It's the kind of soil that seed sprouts in and springs up in and grows up in. Hallelujah. So that kind of heart brings forth fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold to the very glory of God the Father. Hallelujah. That is such a good message. Amen. And I have studied to show myself approved, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightfully dividing what? The word of truth. He spoke a parable unto them. And he said, if you get this, you're going to understand all parables. If you get this principle that's going to come through this parable, you're going to understand a whole lot of things, because there's a spiritual law at work here of sowing and reaping. And it's an unchangeable spiritual law. God doesn't have to get up every day. Not that He gets up. He never sleeps, but never slumbers or sleeps. But God doesn't start the day deciding, boy, that sheep right there needs a whooping. So I'm going to give that sheep a whooping, because I got to straighten them out. And this sheep over here needs affirmation and hugging up. And this right here, they need this blessing and they need that blessing. And I've got to decide what is going to happen in this life and that life and even in the world. He said, I'm going to have to decide. No, he didn't. He just set one law into motion. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. You sow you reap in kind. First principle, you reap in kind. If you sow mercy, what happens? You reap mercy. If you sow harsh, merciless judgment, what happens? This law is in effect, spiritual law. I want to be a graduate of spiritual law school, because it can work for me. It can work against me. So I need to understand it completely, because my words and my actions are sowings. I'm sowing. attitudes, actions, and words I'm sowing. And if I sow to the flesh, the law is in action. It's set. God is not going to change it because he feels sorry for me. You know that old boy right there? I like it when he calls me boy, by the way. It makes me feel younger.
Yeah.
Amen. Listen, that old boy right there preaching this morning, he's been sowing the wrong seed. And he's expecting the harvest by faith and just by believing me for it that is going to be entirely different from the seed that he has sown. And it's not going to happen no matter how much faith, how many scriptures he quotes. There's a law that is overriding, overruling all of that other stuff. And it's the law of sowing and reaping.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that first it's in kind, that shall he also reap. If you sow mercy, what happens? Here's the law in effect. Blessed are the merciful. Watch this. For they shall receive mercy. Hallelujah. When I discovered just how much I needed mercy in order to obtain grace to help in my life, and that's how it works. We come boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy first. And then grace to help.
Amen.
Mercy allows God to be gracious to us.
Amen.
He wants to be gracious to us. But he requires that we show mercy in order to obtain mercy.
Amen.
Forgiveness. The law is at work. If you don't forgive men their trespasses, Jesus said, when you stand praying. Now, we think that's a whole faith issue. If I just believe hard enough, I can put a demand on God by the force of my faith and he's obligated. No, he's not.
Amen.
There's a law in effect.
Amen.
And God, the lawgiver, let me tell you something about the lawgiver. He will not be a lawbreaker.
Amen.
But he informs us of that law so that we don't break it and mess up ourselves. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? When you stand praying, if you go to one of these hyper faith seminars, they're going to tell you how to exercise your spiritual authority over the devil. By the way, there's spiritual law there too. Because before you can ever get a look at the backside of the devil fleeing from you, there's something you do. Submit yourself unto God. And before you even dream of exercising your spiritual authority. Hello?
Yeah.
Did it say submit first or resist first?
Submit first.
Submit first.
Right. Yeah,
the devil will laugh in your face,
yeah.
And God will fold his arms at a rebel soul trying to take authority over a rebel devil. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people like that out there. They love to go to a seminar on your authority, but they don't want to show up at a seminar about taking up your cross and truly following Christ.
Praise God, yeah.
They just want to exercise that authority.
Yeah.
It's so quiet. Chirp, chirp. Is that a cricket in that corner over here? I hear. It always gets quiet when we talk about these. I want you to be alerted. I want you to be alarmed. I want you to get to line up in agreement with God so that we know what to expect, because we know that we have triggered that response from God by exercising spiritual law of sowing and reaping.
Amen.
How does it work? Number one, you reap in kind. The same judgment. Listen to the law. The same judgment you reap in kind, the same judgment you meet with thou, it shall be meted to you again. In other words, God says, the way you judge people and things, I'm going to judge you based there. Rather be merciful. I would rather show mercy because I've triggered the law. Blessed are the merciful. Now, I use something that you've heard probably 100 times. and it's a song from my era. You didn't hear it, most of you, because you're not in my era. Brother Taylor probably heard it and didn't like it, so he forgot all about it. Amen. But it was from, it was a, you know, when the Australia thing was really in. My boomerang won't come back. What a boomerang is? It's a hunting tool for Aborigines. And it's shaped in a shape that if you hurl it at something to hit it and kill it and miss it, you don't lose your boomerang. Because it's aerodynamically designed to come back to form and always come back to the one who hurled it.
When I was growing up, I bought one. It wouldn't come back to me, though.
I used to throw it. Give me a witness, brother. I got a witness right here. His boomerang didn't come back. You bought a boomerang.
Oh, yeah.
Well, problem is, I know you're dark skinned, but you're not an Aborigine, okay? That's the problem. You didn't know how to throw it, man. That's all. The boomerang was okay. You had a problem when you got to hold your mouth like when you throw it. Amen. It's going to be all right, Mike. I've got the joy of Jesus today. You just held your mouth wrong. But the song said, but it's designed by those who knew how to throw it, and it's designed right. The boomerang does come back. So spiritual law is like a boomerang. You throw it, and it comes back. The song said, and Brother Taylor could have wrote it because it didn't come back, my boomerang won't come back. My boomerang won't come back. I've waved the thing all over the place, chased it until I was blue in the face. I'm a big disgrace to the Aborigine race because my boomerang won't come back. Spiritual law is a boomerang, but it always comes back. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap.
Amen.
Blessed are the merciful. What happens? That law is in effect. God doesn't have to decide this. It's decided. And it's revealed in the Word of God for you and for me to utilize in our life. Amen. That's why you don't just go and say, I take authority over the devil. What happened when these guys used all of the language, the lingo, even used the persons who had that authority's name, and even the name of Christ himself? Seven sons of Sceva, a Jew, were out of work. And they decided, there's so many devil-possessed people in our community. How about your community and my community? So many people that are literally, they're not just oppressed, they're possessed. And we've seen devils cast out. And if we go into the devil casting out business, there's a name for that.
Exorcism.
We become exorcist. By the way, the exorcists don't do so well in the movies. You know, my wife the other day, she said, now you, because we pull up to a stop sign, she always looks for me. Well, her neck don't work as good as it used to work. She has to turn the whole person around. You can't do that in a seat. She says, honey, you're going to have to look because I can't look for you. My neck's stiff today. I said, I should have married Linda Blair. She didn't get it immediately. But she slapped me before we got to the next stop sign. And I deserved every bit of it. You know who Linda Blair is, don't you? Yeah, okay. We won't even go there. The exorcist. They decided, I'm going to be an exorcist. And so they found someone who was genuinely demon-possessed.
Yeah.
They're going to charge for it.
Yeah.
And they said, I adjure you, in the name of Jesus Christ, whom Paul preacheth. Come out. And the demon spoke back through the person and said, Jesus, I know. If he had told this, we have no choice. Paul, I know. He has spiritual authority to use Jesus' name. Who are you? Who are you? Who are you? You see, the problem with spiritual authority, a lot of people don't start that authority with submission. You know why Jesus had such authority? Because he was wholly, totally submitted to the Father's will. He was a not my will, but thy will be done person. In the volume of the book it is written, Jesus said, I came to do thy will, O God. He taught us to pray, thy kingdom come, your rule in my life and in this world, but in me first. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. The Bible said the reason he was exalted, like God exalted him, though he thought it not robbery to be, and whoever you think you are, listen, you're not on his level, and let me tell you what he said. He thought it not robbery to be called equal with God in every respect. Amen. But he humbled himself to submit to God. The first thing we have to do is humble ourselves before him. Right. He humbled himself. And he took on himself the form of a servant and was obedient to the death of the cross. And because of that, God hath highly exalted him and given him that name that's above every name that's named, things in heaven, earth, and beneath the earth, and that beneath the earth, this demonic dark place, hallelujah, mysterious but very real. Why he had such authority is because he was under his Father's authority. Amen. He said, the works I do are not arbitrary. They're not mine, but only what I see my Father do. I'm submitted. I'm committed to his will. Amen. People wanted him to do things. He said, it's got to be authorized by my Father before I do anything. Hello? The words I speak, they're not mine. They're not arbitrary. The words I speak, first, is what I hear my Father say. That's why he could say, when you've seen me, when you've heard me, you've seen the Father.
Right.
Can you say amen?
Right.
He was going to go heal a man. And you see this law and operation of submission. And then authority is granted. This submission that allows that authority to be in operation in our life.
Yeah.
And we don't necessarily teach submission before authority. We just teach authority. You're a Christian? Behold, I give you authority. But that authority only operates and is authorized by God if we're submitted. These seven guys probably didn't even know the Lord. And they tried to deal with that demonic world without coming to Christ and being surrendered to Christ. And so with supernatural strength, that demon jumped on them through that person. With supernatural strength.
Right.
And beat them up, bloodied them.
They ran out of the house naked and wounded.
They ran out of the house naked and wounded, tore their clothes off of them to humiliate them and hurt them.
Yeah.
And they decided, maybe we ought to find out what Jesus did and what Paul did for God to authorize and back them up when they use that authority.
Yeah, amen.
Paul said, I'm crucified. I'm alive, but yet I'm dead.
Yeah.
And I'm dead, but yet alive. And it's no more I that live. Everybody say complete submission.
Complete submission.
It's no more I that live, but it's Christ that lives in me.
Amen.
He said, if I glory, if I'm going to boast, I'm going to talk about my authority, my faith. If I boast, I'm going to boast in the cross, whereby I am, look at this submission, I am crucified to the world, and the world is crucified to me. Christians want authority without submission. We want to just believe without forgiving. When you stand praying, believe with all of your heart, you'll have it. No. No, there's something else that has to be right in your heart. When you stand, Jesus said this. People look at me, and not you guys, but people generally. I can, even people I don't know that going to look at this little clip, if they put it up, they get enough of it. They're going to get enough of it. Praise God. Hallelujah. He got enough. If the rapture takes place tomorrow and I'm gone, he's got enough to put up a, well, he won't be here. I'm sorry. He better not be here. Let's put it this way. If God calls me home this week, he's got enough preaching. There's 2,500 sermons. And he got them. Praise God. No wonder the devil hates him. He tries to hurt him. And no wonder God loves him and sustains him and his wife and his family. Submit yourself unto God, therefore. Then resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Your authority as a believer now, God backs it up. But until submission occurs, God does not back it up. And there are a lot of Christians that are not taught to humble themselves and submit themselves to the will and purpose of God in their life. They're not willing to deny themselves in order to take up their cross and follow Him. Because taking up that cross involves the crucifixion of the flesh.
Yes,
and the Apostle Paul said, the life I live now, it's in the flesh.
Yeah.
That life I'm living now, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me.
Amen.
But the flesh doesn't rule.
Right.
If we don't teach these things, we got Christians dealing with spiritual forces that they're not authorized to deal with, even though Jesus said, behold, I give you authority. But it is understood in the overarching truth of Scripture that a spiritual law is in operation.
Amen.
You submit, God backs you up.
Amen.
If God be for you,
come on, brother,
who can be against you?
Yeah.
And if you're not submitted, now this is hard to hear, but it's important, because I've seen too many people try to get out into these areas. I went to Haiti on a mission trip, and I saw people that back here, they would find weak Christians that believed that you know, everything was the devil. They believed they had the devil, and the devil could come and take over at any time. And what an erroneous thing to think that the devil can just come and possess you, not just to oppress you, but to literally possess you as a child of God. No Bible basis for that. You can give place to him. He'll take advantage of that. He will influence you to the degree that you give place to him. So the Bible said, don't give no place to him.
Amen.
Amen. But give yourself to God. That's so, it's an important principle. Give yourself wholly to the Lord. Amen. And then submit yourself unto the Lord, therefore. And then resist the devil. And he has no choice then, because God himself is backing you up. When you use the name of Jesus and you're submitted to his lordship in your life, amen.
Yeah.
The devil has no choice. He's going to have to run from you.
Amen.
So if I teach on biblical authority, spiritual authority, authority over the devil, but I make sure that Robert A. Venable is submitted to God.
Yeah.
And I struggle with that. Not that I don't want to with all of my heart, but my flesh is weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amen.
blockbuster revelation. So is yours.
Amen, brother.
Amen. It will not conform.
Amen. Right.
You have to crucify it.
Amen.
That's what taking up your cross means.
Amen.
It means you dying with Christ. That's what baptism is all about. Buried with Him. Identified in His death, that you might also be identified in His resurrection. Hallelujah. If you die the death, you get the life. If a seed doesn't fall to the ground, seed, this law began in nature and in agriculture. From the as long as the sun rises and sets and the seasons, in other words, come and go, seed time and harvest will remain. This is spiritual law, but it affects agriculture, it is spiritual things, natural things. It's but one law affects it all. Seed time and harvest. The abusers of that begin to try to sell healing and blessings based on you seeding money into the ministry. I wouldn't want to be in the shoes of those who say God will heal you, but first you've got to sow a seed, a financial seed. It takes a financial seed. Let me tell you something about healing. It was bought, paid for in tetelestai. It was paid for in full at the cross. I would not dare to try to sell what Jesus has purchased with His blood.
Amen.
But they not only dare to do it, they're open, clear about it. Send in your seed. Seed. See, they're using seed time and harvest, but they're using it in the wrong way. For their own personal avarice and greed, and it is greed. If you've got five airplanes and you're believing God for another one, why? What is wrong with you?
I saw a video yesterday of Paula White talking about how we need this much money, and she said, "I'm not laying hands on anybody until
that offering comes
in."
Yeah, that.
What?
Yeah, I saw.
It's a
clip on there. Richard Roberts did the same thing on television years ago when he had a broadcast. There was a wheelbarrow type thing, and it was full of prayer requests, desperate people needing God to help them. And it's just full. The letters are up like this. What you're expected to do when you send that prayer request is to send that monetary, material money offering in order for God to respond. That's not the spiritual law of sowing and reaping. That's not what that's all about. And he made this statement. He went to pray, to lay his hands on that stack and pray for all those needs. And he said, if you haven't given, if you haven't put money in the envelope with the prayer request, same thing. It's very hard for me to even pray. Jesus bought that. You know what that's like saying? If you don't send in an offering, you can't get saved. I would pray for your salvation, but if you don't put money in the envelope and send it in, you haven't put in a seed to cause God to save you. Listen, that came as a gift, bought and paid for with the precious blood of the Lamb. Freely you've received. Freely give. Can you say amen?
Amen.
At the gate beautiful, that lame man that leapt and walked, he's begging because Christians, I can do it this time. I didn't want my mic to fall off. I'm not that old. Touch my toes, but I can get my hanky. At the gate beautiful, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. What's happening today is, I got lots of silver, I got lots of gold. And if you want me to pray for you, and if you expect to be healed by God, you're going to have to reach down in that cup and put an offering in my ministry.
Yeah.
Then I will pray for you. That's how crazy.
Yeah.
And you know who's filling those pews and sponsoring that television ministry, and who's giving the money that buys the mansion?
Yeah.
You know who's doing it?
Yeah.
Christians with Bibles.
Yeah.
Bibles. But they get caught up in the same greed and avarice. I want to be as rich as her. I want to be as powerful as him. I want to be on television. I saw Christians just get eat up. I performed a funeral for a family member that gave their last dime to one of these people to receive whatever their need was. In that case, it was healing. They did. Their family did without. They had no money to even be buried. They gave their whole life and didn't even have enough money to be buried. Had no pastor, of course, because you got that guy on television. I tell you something, when you die, he ain't coming. He ain't going to do your funeral. He's not coming to the hospital.
Amen?
Thank you, Jesus.
They caught the one guy, the prayer request. They all came in to the bank. They all took the prayer request. There was a dumpster. And they did it on one of the TV shows because they hate Christians. They want to expose the bad in Christianity, the wrong in Christianity. And they found the empty envelopes. The checks and money were taken out, or money orders were taken out of the envelope. Just hundreds of empty envelopes. A trash dumpster full. And the wife of the minister, because they have ultimately divorced, because when this kind of greed, it's a slippery slope. When you get it this wrong, the devil has got you hornswoggled and hoodwinked.
Yeah, amen.
It's a slippery slope, and that personal walk with God is going to fail.
Yeah.
Because the devil has got you. He's got you with greed and avarice. And that's no other word for it. And they exposed that, and the wife said, he don't pray over anything. He takes out, he has actually a staff that takes the money out and throws away the request. I won't pray unless you have a monetary offering. Listen to this scripture. I think it's 1 Peter 5:7. If it isn't, read 1 Peter, you'll run across it. It might be 1 Peter 5:7. I'll need a little help with that today. You were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold after the tradition of your fathers. If you're going to pay a ransom to get somebody back that is holding them captive, it's always monetary. It's always money. It's always material. You've got to give them something in order for them to turn loose that person. You've got to pay a ransom. Redemption is nothing more or less than Christ paying the ransom. It's another scripture.
Yeah.
118. All right, that's even better. That's right.
But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot.
Our ransom was paid by the precious blood of Christ.
Amen.
His body.
And it's interesting that the same apostle said to Simon, they perish with thee.
Yes.
And thou thought that the gift of God could be purchased with money.
That's right.
So there's a judgment.
Absolutely.
Amen.
And this was Simon the sorcerer,
right.
Not Simon Peter.
Right.
Some people want their pastor to live like that because it means if I do what he's done, I can live like that.
Yeah.
I can get what they've got. And it's appealing to something intrinsic and basic to our flesh nature. And Jesus was tempted by the devil in this very way. He took him to a place where a panorama opened up, and he showed him the kingdoms of this world, the richest, wealthiest kingdoms of the entire world. And he told him something, because the world is under the sway and influence of the devil. He said, it's in my power to give you all the wealth of these kingdoms if you will worship me. The problem is, we got people that are worshiping him through materialism, and they don't even know that they bought into his dark kingdom of greed, avarice. I'm going to get mine, and I don't care who I have to step on to get it. And there are some Christians that want that. Tell me I'm going to be... How many's ever heard down through the years? I've been in this over 50 years preaching. The breakthrough is just about to come. You want something that turns a lot of Christians on? They desperately need a miracle from God, but they'd rather have money. But you can't buy this with silver and gold. Come on. With all the money in the world.
Right.
But it's been bought and paid for by Jesus.
Right.
He's worthy of your submission unto him.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Listen. The breakthrough is going to come. The wealth of the rich has been laid up for the righteous. And this is the year that is going to turn around. You hear so much stuff. Here, I'm trying to preach truth, and you see just how far that's taken us. Amen. I'm still preaching truth. I refuse to compromise to get another person in a seat in here. Because I'm going to answer for people's souls. And I want to see people in heaven more than I want to see them in here. Hallelujah. Amen. So whatever it takes, and wherever God takes this word or takes this ministry. But I believe there's a hollowness in so many people. And you know where it's happening? Statistically, a lot of people 30 and under are coming out of this high octane, this flesh satisfying, seeker friendly. Amen. Pseudo gospel with a hollowness inside, because only God can fill that. Money can't. Spiritual authority can't. Thinking you can be rich like the world and never have a care in the world, and yet they go after it. And that's why they're so easily deceived and duped, because they go after it. They that would be rich, by the way, I have to correct my son all the time. He says, didn't it say money? Because he saw somebody that their money had messed them up. And he said, didn't it say money's the root of all evil? I said, absolutely not. No. No. It didn't say money is the root of all evil. Now, I know you're checking me out, so just hold me accountable. It said the love of money. Money can be used for good. If God gives him $1 million and says, give Brother Venable $100,000, that would be good. That may be good for me. I mean, I didn't ask you to be good for you. Maybe you couldn't handle $100,000. It can be used for evil. But the evil is not in the money, the currency. By the way, it's called by a name. Filthy lucre. I wash my hands after I've handled money. Because of the scripture. But because I don't know who else has handled it and where they have had it. It's probably because it's, you know, it's dirty. But what's dirty is when our heart is set more on the things here beneath than the things above, including God himself.
Amen.
Jesus put it this way. Here's that law, sow and you reap it. If you sow, listen, don't lay up your treasure.
On earth, yeah.
Don't lay it up where the rust can corrupt it or the thief can steal it. But lay up your treasure above. For the thief can't steal it. Nothing can corrupt it. For where a man's treasure is, there his heart is going to be. There his heart is going to be. The love of money is the root, the foundation. Satan uses it of all evil. And it's not just, it's also called by another name. You can't serve God and mammon simultaneously. You can serve him with mammon. And there are some people that do. Mammon is another word, not just for money, the currency. It's a word for all of the pride and all of the power that money gives people. I'll tell you how this works. Remember when East Lake Mall was open? Anybody remember East Lake Mall? I went there on a Sunday afternoon because I spilled something on my white shirt. And I didn't have a clean one. I thought, I'm going to go buy me one at JCPenney's, second level. And I walked in JCPenney's, but I had on, a shirt with a nice tie. It wasn't that shirt, but it wasn't the one I wanted to wear for the Sunday night service either, because it was a little frayed around the collar. Still looked good if you didn't see the collar. So I walked in, but I had the tie on. I had on my dress slacks, dress shoes. And two ladies, and not because I was handsome or anything, even though I am, but it wasn't that. Listen, back then I was. Anyway, that's a long time ago. And they both came over to me and said, "Sir, may we help you?" And I said, "Well, I'm looking for a white shirt. I need this size." They said, one of them took me right over, showed me where the shirts were, what color you want. Just want plain white shirts, all I need. And they took good care of me. Through the week, I needed to go and pick up some of those shoe inserts that you put in your shoe. My feet were hurting in those dress shoes, standing up so long. I don't know, some preachers just don't know when to stop. And and your feet start hurting. If you ever see me come in house shoes, just go on home. Sir, you'll never survive that long. Hallelujah. I was looking for something, but I was back in the same JCPenney's. But I'd been working at the church, had on a pair of jeans, pair of tennis shoes, and a black t-shirt. They just walked away from me. Nobody come to ask me what I want. I thought, this is the same man.
Yeah.
They didn't know I was a preacher then. They didn't know what I was. But they considered me not to be important enough because of how they perceived me.
Yeah.
You're dressed up. He might be important. Let's take care of him. You dressed down. I ain't got time to fool with him.
Yeah.
That's how the world judges things.
True.
Money gives people immediate, if they know you got it, and they know you're somebody, money gives you power.
Yeah.
And it's that power that our flesh wants. That's why submission is hard for us without crucifying the flesh. Because we want to be in control. We want that power. That's why we buy in, I'm going to have spiritual authority. I've seen too many shipwrecked lives over all these years of ministry, over 50 years.
Amen.
People that talk in tongues, prophesy, see visions, have dreams, talk about God talking to them like they got a hotline to heaven right there in their own life. And he calls them up all the time and tells them everything. But they end up, how did they shipwreck? With all of that spiritual authority and all of that spiritual revelation. Because it builds in without being submitted to God. And following Jesus, it builds in it even spiritual accomplishments build in it a pride, just like money does. It's so hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. It's hard. Why? Why? God resists the proud. He gives grace to what? The humble. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God. He will exalt you in due season. It's that self-exaltation that he resists. Jesus made of himself no reputation. And the Apostle Paul, yeah,
took upon him the form of a servant.
Took on himself the form of a servant. And humbled himself. Under the mighty hand of God was obedient, not my will but thine be done.
Come on, bro.
To go to the cross and die in our place and give himself to that suffering.
Right.
And yet we're have a tendency to exalt ourselves.
Yeah.
Apostle Paul, it wasn't because something was flawed in his character. He had flesh to deal with, like you and me and us.
Yeah.
He's got trouble everywhere he goes.
Yeah.
Everywhere he goes, I was in peril of this, peril of that. Danger is the word for peril.
Yeah.
Peril, 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 peril. Everywhere I went, I'm in danger of this. There's trouble here. There's trouble there. It's impeding the propagation of the gospel. I prayed 3 times. For God to take away all of this, smooth out the way so I can get the gospel out. No answer. While he waits in his disappointment and disillusionment with God. You can't help but have that when you get a no, no, no. I think if you'd prayed the 4th time, God would have said, "What is it about no? Don't you understand?" It's not what I don't understand. It's what I do understand that's bugging me. No, why are you saying no to something that's for your benefit and your good? And while he's waiting upon the Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you. My strength, this spiritual power and authority, my strength is made perfect in weakness." Literally translated, I'll paraphrase it, his strength shows up best in weak people. Old Testament counterpart to them that hath no might. He increases strength. We want might. We want authority. We want, I want it. I got it. The devil knows I have it. Hates me for it. But I must submit myself unto God to use it.
Right.
Yeah. And there's a danger when I use it and it works, of falling into the pride of a spiritual accomplishment.
Yeah.
Paul did a self-inventory. That's hard to do. To be honest and open with your own heart. And he said, "I get it now.
Yeah.
I see it. In order to obtain this grace, I have to acknowledge how weak I truly am."
Yeah, yeah.
And these trials remind me of who I truly am.
Yeah.
No matter how mightily God uses me. In fact, he said, I go through these things that the power of Christ rests upon me.
Yeah.
That's why the devil used Paul's name. What an honor. Jesus, I know. You better believe it. God incarnate, God in the flesh.
Yeah.
Amen. But he put some other name, the devil acknowledged.
Yeah.
Paul, I know.
Yeah.
If this was the Apostle Paul using Jesus' name, we'd have no choice but to get up and get out.
Amen.
But I don't know you. And Paul had that power of Christ, that authority granted him, because of what he went through, not what God took him from.
Right, amen. That's true.
I bear the marks of an apostle. Listen, he said, "Oh, Demas decided, I'm going to be an apostle. I'm going to be like Paul. I'm going to further my ministry by hooking up with him because everybody knows what a great apostle he is. And if I go preaching with Paul, I've got instant credibility. Until he found out they were not going to stay in the Conrad Hilton and eat prime rib every night. Amen. You know what Paul said? I was given 39 stripes of the Jews on 5 occasions. You really want spiritual authority? Want to be a spiritual big shot? God allowed it. Did he not? I was given 39 stripes, 40 save one, on 5 separate occasions. Yeah. I was beaten with rods on 3 occasions. Mm-hmm. I was stoned and left for dead. They thought they killed me.
Night and a day in the deep. Night and a day in the deep. In the deep.
I was in the deep for a day and a night for 24 hours. Through a shipwreck, I was in the water.
Yeah.
Didn't know if I.
Yeah.
They stole me and left me for dead. And what did he do? Did he give up preaching? Did he walk away and say, God, fail me? I ain't serving a God that don't deliver me from these things. Right. You really want to follow Paul, Demas? Because they're gonna tie you to that whooping post with him. If you're identified with Jesus to that degree. I was stoned and left for dead. And the Bible said he was found preaching in another city. Soon he recovered enough to go and tell the old story of Jesus and his love. He didn't need a financial incentive. He didn't need, amen, this Bentley to carry him there. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Whatever it took to get there. There was an African pastor gave his testimony here in America. He said, I acted as a national missionary there in Africa. We established a church. It was several miles to the village. And he said, I was praying, Lord, my old bicycle is broke down. And I've been having to walk all that way and I'm wore out when I get there. And Lord, I would be so thankful and so grateful if you would give me, I'm willing to walk every day to tell the story. But Lord, if you would give me a bicycle, I don't care what color it is. I don't care what kind it is. Just something I can pedal to get there instead of walk. I'd be so grateful to you, Lord. But I'm going to tell the story, bicycle or no bicycle. That's somebody I want to hear preach. Because he's preaching the right gospel for the right reason. Can you say amen? For the love of souls. And representing a king and a kingdom that doesn't line up with the values of this old fallen, sin-darkened world. Full of avarice and greed and self-exaltation. The Apostle Paul said, listen, there was an emissary. All of this trouble I'm having that is stirring up. It looks like people is all the problem and circumstances. But there's a force behind it that is spiritual.
Amen.
There was given to me in the permissive will of God. He allowed the devil to send and didn't intervene because he was going to counteract everything that happened to Paul. Sufficient grace.
Hallelujah.
Oh, if we put the value on grace that Paul put on it, we'd find what we need to go through whatever we are facing. And we would discover the sufficiency of grace. And we would maintain a humility because of grace. Because whatever we see, we'd say, except. And I'm talking about these guys that are misled and misleading others. Except for the grace of God, there go I. I could be in that mess. I could run with that group. But I'm not. But it's by the grace of God.
Amen.
You lay in the back of an ambulance. You're that close to heaven. Your values adjust. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
My wife couldn't go with me. She followed in the car, but she couldn't go with me in the ambulance when I had that stroke. But God did. She did come into the emergency room, but she couldn't do anything for me but hold my hand. But God came in that emergency room. And He did something for me that my wife couldn't do for me. There's a day coming you're going to need Him to hold your hand.
Amen.
Thank God He promised to do it.
Amen.
To the weak that look to Him in humble faith and dependency,
yeah.
I will uphold you with the right hand of my righteousness.
Amen.
Fear not, for I'm holding you by your right hand.
Thank
Can you
God.
Say
amen?
Amen.
Thank God.
Glory to the Lord. The Apostle Paul said there was an emissary from Satan sent to buffet me.
Yeah.
Buffet means that that tropical countries don't have hardwood trees that are in the hurricane zones. They have palm trees. Hardwoods don't make it through strong hurricanes. Palm trees do, for the most part, because they will give, but they don't break. They're buffeted by the wind, but they don't break. Buffeted, but don't. Paul's whole life was a buffeting without breaking because of a sufficient grace. People question God when He offers them grace. They ought to grab a hold of it. It'll take you through. I don't want to go through. Hey, join the crowd. I don't want to go through nothing. A trial comes. You know what? Somewhere in here, there's a big sign that says EXIT. When a terrible trial comes, I'm looking for the way out of the trial. I'm not looking for the sufficient grace to take me through it. I am. That's what I want. Without surrendering and submitting, that's what I'm praying for. And that's what Paul prayed for. Can I put it in context? Here's something misquoted. Listen, God won't give you more than you're able to bear. You heard that? There's a truism. He won't allow you to go anything. He don't grant grace sufficient. But that doesn't mean He won't allow you to go through anything. And that doesn't mean you can use your authority to never go through anything.
Come on, brother.
You may need to go through it.
Yeah.
I may need to go through it. If pride begins to get into your heart, that is born out of self-sufficiency. You know what self-sufficiency will build? Self-exaltation every single time. Hyper-faith puts you in charge. My words create what I need. Oh, those guys that are saying that, why don't you create enough wealth without keep billing me?
Come on.
Amen.
If that's really true and you've got that kind of authority and every believer has it, why don't you just create your wealth with your words? Why don't you sow a seed into someone else's ministry for God to bless your ministry? And you won't have to ask the widow that only has the 2 mites to give them up.
Amen.
It don't work. People are just finding out. They're broke and he's richer.
Yeah.
Duh. Everybody say duh.
Duh.
I mean, can you figure that out? You're broke, he's rich. What's wrong with this picture? You sent everything you got your hands on to him to get healed and get rich. You're neither. Duh. Something's wrong. Just get back in the Bible. Let the Jesus model be our model. Let's let the apostles model be our model. Don't let that man or that woman be your model. It's Jesus that saved you. It's Jesus that gave himself on the cross. Give me Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Oh, I feel the presence of the Lord here. Don't amen me anymore. It's time to stop. If there is a time to stop.
Praise God. Hallelujah.
There was given to me an emissary. You know what emissary means? A special agent given one task. Hell said, we got to stop that man. He's spreading the gospel. He's getting the gospel. Amen. That's going to be handed down. He's getting revelations from God. We got to stop that man. And we got to stop him through pride. How do you know that was the devil's strategy? Because the Apostle Paul saw in his flesh, intrinsic to his flesh, by the way, intrinsic to yours and mine. Yeah. Yeah. How many's ever wanted to win a theological argument just so you could be right? I'm right and you're wrong. See, I showed you right here in the book. I'm right, you're wrong. That's pride, man. You're not defending truth. You're exalting yourself. And your flesh will wallow in it. Yeah. Glory in it. I win. Yeah. I heard a black preacher say on the radio, how you know he was black? Because he said he was. Amen. He said,
I'm plain enough.
I knew you were going to ask that. I'm pushing 80, but I still got a little bit left. It's not all gone yet. But I heard him preaching. And it was a church, and it was a Kojic, whatever the letters mean.
Oh, Church of God in Christ, yeah.
Yeah.
CGO and some of
us. Yes, Kojic is the way it spells out. But he said two, and I was on my way to Georgia, going through Georgia. So he said two of the hardest things for any person to say. He said, number one, I was wrong.
Yeah.
It takes humility to say I was wrong.
Yeah, man, bro.
It takes more to say what he said next. He said, and number two is to say, and you were right.
Yeah.
It's bad enough to say I was wrong, but to also say, and you were right. Now we have taken pride down.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Humble yourself. Jimmy Swagger put it this way. I had men around me before his fall, twice fall, that affected his ministry and every minister. When one of us falls, it affects the rest of us.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
The world judges us by what they see on television, which is the most visible people.
Right.
There's some good people on there. But there's no bad actors on there.
It is, yeah. Sure.
So he said, I had men around me, good men that I could have confessed my weakness to, who would have prayed for me.
Yeah.
But I didn't. And this is his words. I'm not condemning him. I'm showing you the flesh, when it's not controlled, when it's not crucified, it's intrinsic to the flesh. This pride. Listen, he said, which brings the resistance of God, and we need the grace to even overcome temptation.
Right. Come on, brother.
He said, I had men around me, good men around me, that could have helped me. I remember in one of his broadcasts, he had Dave Wilkerson on the program, sitting with other ministers talking theology on one of the things on television. And Dave brought up something. He said, you know, he said, I struggle with temptation. He said, I've really struggled with it. And he did it, and it was on television. It's televised, and he's admitting this. As a spiritual leader, wrote The Cross and the Switchblade, and, you know, and had that great revival in New York among gang members, and established Times Square Church in a bad part of New York City. Amen. Still going today.
Amen.
He said, when I would go to preach somewhere and stay in a hotel, you can get a channel. You can pay and get a channel right into your room, private. And he said, the temptation to get involved. And you'd think, oh, but he's such a holy man, such a prayer life, always preaching. How could he even have that struggle? I'll tell you why. Because the flesh has something in it. The very word for flesh is a word that sounds wicked. S-A-R-X. It's intrinsic to the flesh. It's a residue of the fall. When the darkness entered this world, it entered human beings, not just the cosmos and not just the planet, but people. And it affected directly and distinctly the heart of every human being. The heart of man, fallen man, after the fall in this world, is desperately wicked above all things and deceitful. That means when it's occurring, the person that is happening in is not even aware. They think they're okay. Some of these guys right now, they're putting all of the values of the world, repackaging them as God's will for every one of His children. Taking the devil up without fully realizing. I hope they don't realize it. I hope they are blinded to their own hearts. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Amen. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And until the heart is changed, the tongue is an unruly member, evil, full of deadly poison.
Amen.
There's a drug that policemen have to carry something. If you come in contact, just touch it. There's a baby killed by it at a daycare center where one of the workers brought it to work. Fentanyl, is it?
Fentanyl.
It'll absorb through your skin. And there's a short time to give you something to counteract it, to revive you. If I had a vial of fentanyl, is that how you say it?
Fentanyl.
All right, let's just get the fentanyl out. If I had how about deadly poison that can be absorbed through your skin? I can pronounce deadly poison. Hallelujah. And I passed it around this morning. And I'd say, Mike, I want you to take this and pass it to you, and you pass it and pass it all around. How would you handle that? Would you say, oh, thank you very much. Oh, what is this? What's in here? No, you wouldn't.
No way.
You would handle it delicately and deliberately.
Yeah.
In other words, you would think before you speak.
Yeah.
They used to say back in my day, actually, my math teacher used to say it to us because we were so bad at math. You'll like this.
I probably have said it.
He probably did. He said, y'all, and you probably heard this because it's cliched, y'all have got constipation of the brain. We had all made bad grades on our math test. Except for one smart guy, nobody liked him. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. He said, y'all have diarrhea. No, you have constipation of the brain and diarrhea of the mouth. That's bad. The abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And the heart, unchanged, is desperately wicked above all things.
Amen.
And that's why the tongue that is being used by that kind of heart, which is every heart before regeneration and before salvation. And a Christian can blurt out stuff without thinking. Without thinking about the consequences of that or who it's going to hurt. or what it's going to hurt as far as the kingdom of God. That's why when Saul died on the field of battle with Jonathan, that's why David took no pleasure in that. He said, don't publish it in Gath. Don't tell it in Ashkelon. Lest the daughters of the Philistines rejoice over these two mighty warriors of God have fallen, been defeated in battle. If everything is operating on this law, I want to know about it. The Apostle Paul said in closing, there's given to me an emissary, a special agent from the devil to buffet me. Everywhere I went, the storm came. You get out on the water, storm comes. Wherever you are, storms come. Through people, circumstances, I was always dependent on the grace of God. I had to stay humble to obtain the grace of God.
Amen.
But I did. Hallelujah. Lest I be lifted up. Everybody say pride.
Pride.
Lifted up above measure for the many revelations that God has given me. So if somebody tells me God showed me this, God told me that, I have a revelation from God, I look for humility.
Yeah.
Because if I don't see humility, I question that person. Because if you want me to just come under your influence and your authority so you can exalt it over me because God showed you and God told you when He never even gave me a hint, for me to listen to you, I want more than a scripture quoted me. I'll submit to the scripture. There's a difference when somebody said, God told me this to tell you.
Yeah.
I look for something.
Right.
And not just their statement. I look for humility.
Yeah.
If you see your brother overtaken in a fault, go to him. In a spirit, in what kind of a spirit? A humble spirit. In a spirit of meekness.
Right.
Considering yourself.
Lest thou also be tempted.
Lest thou also be tempted.
Amen.
Because if the pride that led him into this gets in you for being so good and so accurate and so perfect, it will get you
Amen.
Into trouble with God.
Amen. Amen.
You've got to consider yourself.
True.
Hallelujah. So I want to teach spiritual law. But I want you to get on the right side of spiritual law. If you sow mercy, you're boomeranging.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, I've been merciful. I love showing mercy. Glory be to God. An old guy hit my car from behind. And I mean, he hit me hard in my van. My van was old. And evidently, the old guy, and I'm going to tell you, back when he did that, he was probably my age. And he probably, evidently, had enough violations where he wasn't paying attention because of his age, wasn't really, you know, paying attention. He probably had marks against his license. Somebody told me to come on. And I was looking at the lady that said, come on. And there was cars backed up behind her. She was going to let me turn. I didn't have the right of way, but I had her word on it, and I know better. I know better.
Yeah. Yeah.
I was hit one time on the way to a funeral for the same way. One of the Hodges funeral. I was late getting there because somebody hit me because a guy said, come on, come on. And I thought, okay. And this lady, she was looking at me. She had let two cars go, and I was sitting there waiting, looking at. And she said, come on. And I floored it to go on, get out of the way quick. And a guy come and hit, and he had a muscle car. He was about four cars behind her, evidently, and he was tired of waiting, so he floored it to come around her, and he caught the back of my car. But Brother Taylor, I had sown something.
Yeah.
I had sown something.
Yeah. Praise God.
This guy got out of a truck that looked almost brand new. And my old van, I had an Astro van 2002, and it hit the back of that, and it was built to haul stuff. It didn't do a whole lot to it. But it did something to it that I never repaired. And he come and he said, "Sir, I'm so sorry." And the tears were streaming down his cheeks. He said, "I guess we ought to call the police and fill out a report." And he said, "If I had the money, I'd fix your van for you." I said, listen, I had an opportunity to be merciful. I threw my boomerang. I said, "Listen, sir, this van is old." I said, "I don't polish it. I don't wax it. I drive it. That's all I do. I change the oil so it'll keep running so I can drive it and haul stuff in it." I said, "It's okay." I said, "It's more damage to your truck." He said, "Oh, sir, thank you so much. I'm so sorry. Tears are running down. They're probably building points. To take your license, what are you going to do to get to the store to take care of your business?" And I thought, it's okay. It's okay. Did you have insurance on the van? No. Did he have insurance to cover the van? No. Did the van still run and take you where you wanted to go? Did anybody at Lowe's, when I'm going to get something in the back of the van, say, "Hey, look at that bumper on the back"? No, it's all bad, man. The bumper blends right in. And I got to show mercy. And when that guy hit me, he had the right of way. And I tried to explain, it didn't make no difference. He had the right of way. And I said, "I am so sorry." I didn't cry. I could have. Wow. And I said, "I will fix your car. What I don't even know if my insurance will cover your car. I know it's comprehensive. It would cover my car because it's financed still. That car out there, I still owe on it. Lord knows interest is high. And it takes a long time to pay things off. Anyway, see, I said, "Honey, if I have to borrow it from the bank, I'm going to fix that man's car." Because I told him I would, give him my phone number and everything else. And in Publix, I got a call from my insurance company. It was Allstate. I'm not promoting them. They're just like the rest of them. Greed. Anyway, but I'd been with them. They said, "Sir, we understand, because his company had filed against my company, and my company..." He said, "Can you tell us the details of your accident?" I told him the details. He said, "Well, sir," she said, "Well, sir, you don't have to worry about a thing. We're going to fix his car, and we're going to fix your car. You've been with us for over 30 years and rarely ever filed anything, and we appreciate you being our customer." And I'm thinking, my boomerang just came back. My boomerang just came back. Yeah. Come on, I'll operate in this stuff.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Amen. She said, "We're going to fix his car. We're going to fix your car. And you pick the closest place to you that you can have your car repaired. And take it there. And they're going to fix it. And we're going to take care of it. He's satisfied. His car is fixed. My car is fixed." And I was thinking about trying to rent a car so I could come to church, because the van is gone, because I sold it in mercy. My daughter-in-law, who messed it up, and she's gone to heaven. And anyway, I gave it to my daughter-in-law and my grandson, and I sold that. So anyway... I called to rent a car, and they said, "Are you Robert Venable?" "Right." I said, "That's right." I said, "Oh, that car has been rented by your insurance company. We'll bring it to you. When you put your car in, you don't have to come get it. Find a way to come get it. We will bring it to you." And I thought, wow, I had no idea that it was covering everything and give me a rented car to drive for 10 or 11 days while they completely repaired my car. And it just had a scrape on the back. But they repaired it. They showed me the bill just for that little scrape. Didn't have to repaint, roughed it out. $5,000. I thought if I'd had to pay that, just a little scrape. I thought, oh my Lord. Lord, you're so good. You're so gracious. But it was just wasn't, he was grace to me. Because down the road, I had operated in a spiritual law of sowing and reaping. It's my turn to reap. See, the reason I want you to know both sides of this, because I want you to get on that good side. Amen. So you're sowing, and when the time comes, you know that you're going to reap what you sowed. You're going to be so glad to get it. Praise God. Amen. Hallelujah. God will remember you. He will not forget. Will you stand to your feet? Hallelujah. Thank you, Heavenly Father. Did you get something out of this service today? Was it worth your time? Hallelujah. You're not too bored. Sleepy, but not bored. Amen. Me too. I'm going home and take care of Pamela. She was a little wobbly today. Good yesterday. It's back and forth. Just remember her before the Lord. She's doing better, but she needs to do even better. And God has got this. Hallelujah. Amen. God has got it. And I will not give up. Glory to the Lord. Glory to the Lord. Father, we praise you. Give me Jesus. Model Jesus to me. Give me Jesus. Show me Jesus. He's the author. He's the finisher of my faith.
Amen.
It should be yours today.